This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Actually, I have to leave right now because I have COVID.
No, situation is on our hands here.
Just kidding. I'm all cured.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I can stay. I can stay as long as I want.
I was so let down by this because it's one of those things where the previews, they show you something and then they don't even show it to you in the episode. Like, where was the scene with Jesse confronting Logan about his COVID?
So, yeah, let's get right into this.
Yeah.
I don't think he had COVID.
I've seen some tinfoil hat theories going on. I haven't dug too deep into them, but tell me more.
So I just like it doesn't. So I was very suspicious watching the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, if Logan had COVID, they have to shut production down.
Right. You would think so.
Well, and because like,
right?
Yeah. And so like, if Gabby and all of those guys are close contacts of Logan with COVID, wouldn't they all have to isolate? Why is Jesse going to them? Why are they having a rose ceremony the next day? Why are they with Rachel's group? Like, they had such an easy way to just like separate them out.
And when are they doing these tests? Because he was there for the day portion of the date. And yeah. Not the night portion.
Yeah. So like, what do they say? Like, okay, like we'll do the test right for the date. You go on the date and we'll tell you your results after. No, that's not possible. That's just not, mm-hmm. There's just no way you can make me believe that that's the case. So the tinfoil hat theories I've read, I'm very gullible. Mm-hmm. Was that maybe he partook in some of Amsterdam's finest?
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's the case, and I don't want to like say like yes, that's what happens. Spread rumors, but
yeah.
But it's just so suspicious. Like, he did not have COVID. Like, that makes no sense.
Right. Like, they would not have the guys gather together. They'd have to all go and test, and they would likely have it.
Yeah, and they would like not send Jesse into like the lion's den of COVID if that was the case. And like, they're not going to get accurate results one day after. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, you guys tested negative today. Like, you're all in the clear. Like, that's not how that works. I know the CDC is just like, yeah, I know the CDC has just like completely lost their mind when it comes to like, oh, if you test positive, well, why not go sneeze on your closest neighbor? Like, I know that they've gone like full weird with that, but like, that's just not it. That is not it.
Yeah. And then Jesse told the guys there has been a situation with Logan. They just asked, is he okay? But they didn't know what it was. He never revealed. But then to Gabby, he did. And it's like, did they do like a second shoot of him telling Gabby? And why was he allowed to tell Gabby? Isn't there privacy involved, like a COVID diagnosis?
Well, that's the other tinfoil hat theory I read, is that those two scenes were reshot.
Mm-hmm.
And that they do have footage of them telling Logan, like, oh, you got to get out of here, blah, 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 you're done here or whatever.
Right. And in the preview, wasn't it like, oh, I feel terrible kind of thing? Like, he was taking ownership of something, which I guess you could say, like, oh, I feel terrible that I have to go home. But yeah, why would Jesse meet with him face to face, even if they are outdoors?
Yeah.
And distant.
And the part of that theory is that they did have the night portion of that date.
Ooh. And then they didn't show it?
Yeah. They just had to like reshoot it like they didn't have it.
Somebody come off contract soon and tell us. Don't go on VIP and just.
Well, that's what I've read because, like, in my mind, if I'm Gabby, I'm like, okay, well, we're probably all close contacts. Let me just have this date. Or I'm like, let me call each of their rooms and have a phone date with them.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Logan was on track to be eliminated by Gabby. Like, she just welcomed him back. I could see him, since she only picked three hometowns, like, he might have been that fourth slot. Wouldn't she just say, hey, like, I'll wait for him to get better. Like, let's schedule his hometown for the last one.
Yeah, I don't know.
We got to make something interesting out of this episode. So I'm glad we started with
that. Yeah, like, I just, whatever happened, I don't think he had COVID.
And let's see, he wiped his Instagram. He only has two posts right now. And yesterday, he had this very long caption. But at the end of it, he talks about struggling with his mental health. It could just be something he wanted to share. But I'm wondering if it was like, yeah, there was something else going on. Otherwise, you'd think he would acknowledge, like,
yeah,
it sucked that I got COVID, instead of having like a different, like, more emotional post about it.
Yeah. And if it happened to be the situation in which he no longer felt like it was mentally serving him to be on this journey, I'm so happy that he took himself out of it and took care of what he needed to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
He also has a rose tattoo on his leg that is in flames. So that could be a recent addition.
I was going to say, is it new?
Who knows? He wiped his Instagram. We can't go back and deep dive
on
that.
So weird.
All right. Well, now that we've got those theories out of the way, let's talk about how this episode starts off. We see Gabby and Rachel kind of meeting up in Amsterdam, walking around the city, chatting, and then Jesse joins them and kind of getting their feel for how they're doing. You can tell that Gabby's already emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a weird app right off the hop.
Yeah, it seemed like once I saw how her next date went, I was like, okay, she's probably already like just dreading knowing the end result of this date, because it wasn't like that her date with Nate went on and on. It was like she had a one-on-one and seemed like she was kind of resigned to like that's what she was going to do.
Okay, so here's my other question then. Mm-hmm. Did she maybe have the one-on-one date planned for Spencer and then reeled it back when she's like, I need some private time with Nate to no longer date him? Because it didn't seem like they had anything set up. It was just like, let's go sit on a bench and I can break up with you immediately.
Right. It seemed like unfair to Gabby if she knew right away. Because usually it's like, okay, if you're going to break up with someone one-on-one, it's like, you're not sure. But she kind of talked about it right away. Like, this is, I know what I have to do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think it was like probably something else was supposed to happen. And she like recalled it and was like, I need to talk to Nate like alone.
Yeah, but that sucks to lose a one-on-one when you only get one this week instead of two.
I know, you normally would.
Yeah, so I could see her making that call though, like just. Mm-hmm. She's very caring and would want to like give him that treatment. We've also seen the move of like they show up at their room and talk to them ahead of like a group date or something like that, or before a cocktail party. Like, I want to give you more time and more of a reason why this won't work out. So let's talk about that. One-on-one. Nate was very excited, shocked to be getting this card. And then we see kind of the guys back at the house or at the ship. A very forced conversation between Logan and Johnny, speculating what might happen, that he might not come back if she's not ready to be a mom. And that's kind of what happened. She just didn't She sat him down pretty quickly.
She like couldn't even look at him. She couldn't even like say hi. Like he knew right away.
Just crying right away.
Yeah.
And just said that she's still, you know, doing her own healing. She's worried that she wouldn't be a good mom. And they're in just in two different places. And he was really understanding right away. It's hard to kind of put it in perspective watching this episode and then the story that came out about him last week.
Because, I know. I just tried to like completely suspend my disbelief right, with that.
Right. Because this was totally like a whole Bachelor edit I thought that he was getting with yeah. like an extended like him walking around along the canal and just sitting and contemplating. And he was just so kind to her. And the breakup, just saying, you know, I hope that, you know, whoever chooses you is going to be so lucky. And I hope you choose somebody that also chooses you back. Just even this how they were walking, like kind of arm in arm afterwards, and they still kissed. It reminded me kind of Hannah and Tyler C. It's like when they have that like romantic kiss, even though they're breaking up kind of thing. So
this was like truly, I would say besides Desiree and Brooks, the most devastating breakup I've seen on this show.
Yeah, it was really hard.
It felt so real and like honest, and like you can tell like they loved each other, and not like they're in love with each other, but like that they love each other. And like, oh, like, and I know Gabby had to do it, but Nate was so, so sweet that it just like made you want to not. You're just like, no, please. And I'm always like a sucker for the like after breakup, like passionate kiss when they just both know exactly. It's like, okay, we just, you know, this is it.
I think it was Hannah and Tyler. Maybe I'm thinking of, I know it was Katie and Andrew.
Katie and Andrew had one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's happened a couple times because it's usually like breakups don't go well. It's like the guy's pissed and they walk off, or it's just kind of like a sudden like change in attitude. But the fact that it was like so emotional and they still have that connection, and it, Gabby was so upset afterwards. Like, I'm even reflecting on how he handled it. Like, did I make the wrong decision?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we kind of had that projected earlier on that she wasn't sure. And I think it's like about that time when if you're going to hometowns the following week, you have to cut it off if you're mm-hmm. not ready for that.
So, yeah.
Do you think that he could be Bachelor? Like, do you think the story of like the two different women and how he didn't reveal his daughter and was telling them both like the same, like that he was exclusive with them. Do you think that would have impact? Or should it?
I don't know if it should. Like, I feel like we could come up with weird stories about any of the Bachelors. I mean, like, I'm sure Peter has some stuff in the closet. I don't know. I'm so sad. I just can't get over how sad I am.
Right. Yeah. Like, if I didn't know that story, I'd be totally on team make Nate the Bachelor. But just like having that in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't think these women were making anything up. So
yeah.
But it could be that he's a changed person. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah. So. They have a few contenders plus people from other seasons that they could go to. So I don't know where they're at yet. And then we have Rachel and Zach having a one-on-one. This was a one-on-one that I would have loved to have. It's only the 2 weeks of the year when you really want to be in. I mean, you want to be in Holland anytime, but if you want to see tulips, somehow they scheduled this exactly right.
Yeah. So gorgeous. This is the dream. This mm-hmm. is the absolute dream.
What did you think about Zach getting a second one? Just like, I mean, Gabby gave Nate a second one, but it doesn't really count. So Zach over Tyler and Ethan, who haven't had one.
Oh, I forgot Tyler hasn't had a one-on-one yet?
He's had like one-on-one time, like winning a group date kind of thing.
This sounds bad, but I'm fine with Zach getting it over Ethan because, like, I don't think Ethan ever had a chance to move into hometowns. Like, we thought Ethan was going to leave week two, so the fact that he's mm-hmm. made it to this point, like, we are thrilled for him. We hope he's on Paradise. Mm-hmm. I feel like Zach shouldn't have got a second one over Tyler's first.
Right.
Especially because she is going to meet Tyler's family without going on a date with him, which seems bananas.
Yeah, I think that doesn't really bode well. I guess that happened, like, Kendall on Ari's season never had a true one-on-one. She was on a two-on-one or something like that, and she made it to top three, so I guess it's possible. But
I feel like two-on-one at least is like, okay, you pick somebody partway through the date, and then you are on a one-on-one with them.
Right. Yeah. I'm starting to think, you know, I know, like, hometowns are your least favorite week. I feel like this week before hometowns is my least favorite, because especially now when there's two bachelorettes and there's only one one-on-one and one group date, like, you just we really haven't gotten to know so many of these people. And it was like there was no sort of, I don't know, like, suspense when it was down to Tino and Ethan at the end. You know, it's like,
none whatsoever. Who have
we seen? Who haven't we seen?
Yeah. So. Like, the guy she's in love with or the guy she literally has not given a one-on-one to.
Right.
Who could it be?
Right. So I feel like
surprised we haven't gotten any, like, to be continued and having a couple more one-on-ones for each person.
Yeah, I thought by this point they would figure out a way, even if they did that kind of double date thing like they did in Paris, to do something like that. I think they're at this point where everyone's kind of secure in their connections. They could have made something fun with that. I don't know. Let Gabby go to the tulips and hang out, like, third wheel with them. I feel like she just got the short end of the stick here with not getting her date in Amsterdam, but... we did get to see them walking around the tulips. There was the windmill. No references to the infamous windmill of the past. So we did get more of Zach's story when they were having dinner in the museum, which was a really beautiful setting. What did you think of that conversation?
I first want to say, like, when Ethan and I were sitting there watching it, and Zach was, and Rachel is like, so, like, how did you get to the point where you're comfortable? And Zach was like, and I was like, say therapy. Mm-hmm. And Zach was like, therapy. And I was like, yeah, therapy. Of course, I would say, like, maybe the conversation and saying, like, I was bigger and I was miserable because I was bigger and now I'm happy because I am smaller. Like, not my favorite conversation ever. Maybe that's not how he meant it. I think, like, I was kind of interpreting it as he was in a bad place and, like, maybe not, like, you know, eating well and not exercising as, like, regularly and just, like, not treating himself well. And so he was like, and he was so unhappy and he was not treating himself well because he was unhappy. So I hope that's more how he intended it than, like, I was bigger and so I was unhappy because of that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right. Right.
I feel like The Bachelor has such an issue with, like, bigger people to begin with. So I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Roses for Everybody campaign that we've talked about. So on Twitter at Roses for Every Bod, they tweeted, the idea that you'll only be quote unquote whole once you lose weight is a myth perpetuated by the larger culture. And at Bachelor ABC plays a big role in the selling of that story. So I think similarly, did we have something like that with another? I think we've seen the story a few times.
Yeah.
Like with Marissa on VIP. So it's just kind of framed as like, oh, you overcame this thing instead of, oh, it might have been a symptom of something else going on.
So, yeah.
But I think for Rachel and Zach's connection, I liked how she didn't like dwell on that part of it. Like when she was like, oh, how did you get to that place? It wasn't like, oh, how did you diet or something like that? So and she kind of like Gabby and Jason's conversation, it was like this big plus, like, oh, you go to therapy, you want to continue it. And she said it really helped her after Clayton season and it's something she's continuing. So on that part of it, I thought it was a big plus. He also said that he's falling in love with her and just is very sure about, you know, bringing her home. So it was a lock. We knew that with the second one-on-one, it was going to go the way of Nate's one-on-one.
Do you find him interesting?
No.
Cool.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So we talk about the preview, something about the preview I find interesting for his family. Yeah.
So you texted me this and it was the same reaction to what I had last night was when we saw the preview. I went, is that Patrick Warburton? And I was like, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a guy who looks a lot like Patrick Warburton.
That's kind of where I went afterwards. I was like, wow, he really, like, I rewound it. I'm like, that really looks like him. I haven't seen him in a few years. So I was like, maybe it's just somebody who really looks like him.
What's your favorite Patrick Warburton project?
I think I have to go Seinfeld. I think that's kind of like where he got his big break. How about you?
He was on this show with Kate Hudson's brother many years ago that I liked. What was it called? Give me one moment while I'm on his IMDb page. Oh my God, he's in so many things. Good for him.
Yeah, he's like major successful character actor.
Rules of Engagement.
Rules of Engagement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's basically in everything.
He has like a great voice too.
Right. Yeah. So he has a ton of voice acting, Family Guy.
God, he has so many credits.
Yeah.
Like an insane amount of credit. And the Emperor's New Groove video game too.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I have it on good authority. It's Zach's uncle.
Yeah. Actually, I just Googled him and the top Twitter result is from him, Patty Warbucks. I'm being asked, why are you on The Bachelorette? It's my favorite show, I'm addicted, I have a crush on that Zach Shellcross fellow, or all of the above, or Zach is my nephew, or all of the above, So
that's hilarious. I love that for him.
Yes. This will be, gosh, I'm going to have George create a new, like, draft points for like coming, not this season because that wouldn't be fair, but like a celebrity cameo on your hometown date.
That's a great one. And like, I mean, remember when Ben had one of my favorite Top Chef contestants, Antonio Lofaso?
Right. So it's not like unheard of, but it's not that common. So yeah, I think that should be worth like 20 points. That's a big deal. So keep that in mind, George. So that's interesting about Zach. Otherwise, no, like there's not anything that's really like gripping about him. I think they have a cute connection, but I don't know that it surpasses her and Tino. What do you think? I'd still put my money on Tino if I had to like.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. Is this the same hot tub?
The hot tub just travels with them.
Like, did they put it on the cruise ship? And I was like, yeah, this is fine.
I don't know. Yeah, they have hot tub connections. Like, a hot tub will show up on any date. Group date. So Gabby's group date is Logan, Spencer, Eric, Jason, Johnny. So again, like, I had to kind of do the math. I'm like counting, like, oh, is there going to be another one-on-one? Wait, no, that's the rest of her guys. So that's everybody. And yeah, again, very curious that Logan is there, healthy as can be. You'd think that they would test them, like their testing protocol would be like in the morning, like before you gather, unless these were like two separate days. Yeah. So,
and then do the 15-minute test.
Exactly. Like they should be doing that every morning. Anytime they like been out in public because they're out like among like different people here on these dates. How would you describe who this date was with or what kind of where they went?
I would say she was probably a theatrical dominatrix.
Okay. Yeah. Because
she said, this was a hotel ballroom.
Just like decorated it up. Yeah. It looked like a date that you could have in the COVID, like the official COVID seasons, like at La Quinta, they could have done this, right?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe this was actually on the ship.
But I thought they walked up to something that just looked kind of a, like a deserted building. But Yeah, they had like five sheepskin rugs laid out that to me looked like big tortillas that they were laying on. They came in and she was like in silhouette, like silhouette lighting, and with a whip. I don't know if it was Eric. One of the guys was like, I don't know, like if I should be scared or turned on right now. But she talked about how people come to Amsterdam for like freedom of sexual expression, and they wanted to work on their connection with Gabby today. It was a lot of her asking them pointed questions about their sexual history, sexual preferences, and if they didn't want to answer, she would whip them. And they didn't really answer any of them.
No. Is this date for me better or worse than the one Rachel did? Mm-hmm. This is better, but just slightly.
I guess Gabby didn't have to do a whole lot. Like, it was just for the guys. Like, whereas Rachel, like, she was subjected to having to sniff the armpits, whereas Gabby, like, she had to get tickled with a feather, but yeah, not as bad, I don't think. For the guys' perspective, I'm not sure. But yeah, they were all, I was a little bored because they were all like so aware of the cameras. Like, none of them answered a question. It was like, oh, I plead the fifth, or okay, just I'll take the punishment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Smart, but still not good TV.
No, and like, this just isn't like my thing. I'm like, I'm too delicate. I do not want this. Their safe words like made me cry laughing though.
Yeah, that part, at least they answered that. So what was your favorite safe word?
Albuquerque, obviously.
Albuquerque. I thought Logan's was funny. Asbestos. Like, it's just something you don't want in the bedroom. Like, it's a clear no.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Other than that, anything else from this early portion?
I don't think so.
I guess Johnny stood out a little more. Like, he was got a little more personality.
Yeah, but I didn't love it. Yeah.
He came alive when asked about, like, have you slept with more than 10 women? And he was like, do you know who I am? So,
and I wanted to be like, no, she doesn't. Like, we don't know you.
Yeah. But yeah, we didn't get a clear answer on that. Although I did like Johnny. Didn't talk about when after Gabby eliminated Nate that she actually went back to meet up with the guys, like, and just kind of talked about how upset she was, and they all seemed really understanding. And I thought, I don't know exactly what he said, but I thought he said something like, oh, we've been, you know, thinking about you a lot. And yeah, that is really hard. Whereas the guys could be like, oh, she's so broken up about this. Like, did she care about us? So I did like that response.
I love that she went to talk to them. I think that was like a great lead move, just to kind of say like, hey, this is like, you know what's happening. Like, let's be honest about it. And, you know, I don't know. I really like the way Gabby approaches everything this season, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we see four of the guys sitting there waiting for the night portion. They're all sitting close together, as we discussed, wondering, oh, where's Logan? And again, Jesse said both times, like, we have a situation with one of the guys. Like, they clearly have that line for previews. So that people like you and I are going to buy into it and say, oh, what kind of, like, situation could this be? Yeah, I think that Amsterdam theory makes sense. Like, did they get some free time to roam around in between the dates?
Maybe.
Yes. They can't keep them cooped up when they're in a city too much, I don't think. And did that situation happen with a producer as well? Like, did a producer get reprimanded as well? Because I think they could still be chaperoned. We may never know, but anyway, as we discussed, Jesse goes up to them, cancels the cocktail party, but there's no precautions at all. And, you know, lets Gabby know ahead of that. So, Rachel's group date. This was a city I would like to visit. Have you been to the cheese capital of the world?
I have not, but this date is definitely much more up my alley than the Intercoursey date.
Yeah, I think Rachel wins this episode as far as like the dates that she got. Like, I would choose both of these.
Yeah, I feel like Gabby got the better dates in Paris, but you know, Rachel's lucking out here in the Netherlands.
So they're in Adam, the cheese capital of the world. They get to sample some cheese. I loved Ethan here. You know, I wish we got to see more of Ethan. He was saying how he's lactose intolerant, but it's like, well, Rachel loves cheese, so I guess today I love cheese as well.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun this episode. Like, it sucks that we only really got to see his personality this episode.
Yeah. He's getting some, like, momentum, though. Like, people are wanting him to be the Bachelor. So he's got a little bit of, I think, even, was it the first Asian American Marvel superhero, Simu?
Oh, Simu Lee. Oh, yeah. I love Simu Lee.
He tweeted it or put it on his story, like, make him the first Bachelor, Asian like Bachelor.
How fun would he be?
He would. And you know what? Like, another season, I would have said, like, well, we didn't see enough of him. We didn't get to know him. But they made Clayton the Bachelor.
Yeah.
So they have no, like,
truly no excuse.
No excuse. So I would be all for it.
And wasn't he the... this is so funny. He called Tino a baby back bitch.
Right. He has an iconic line from this episode. Like, we know he's got the personality. Are you okay? Right. Classic line. God. So, I mean, he has to go to paradise, if not The Bachelor. Oh, like, we need more of that commentary.
Well, I guess Paradise is probably already filmed, eh?
Yeah, it would be.
So, like, it's possible he already went to paradise and, like...
It's possible.
Like, there's probably somebody they've kept, like, off of paradise so they could be the Bachelor. Or do you think they're, like, waiting to see who people like on paradise?
Yeah, that could be, too. They would have time. Well, I don't know if it's going to air in time because it's airing later than normal. And I think they start filming The Bachelor in September.
I guess so. I guess you're right. Yeah, they probably start... Because... the premiere of Bachelor in Paradise is the week of my birthday, and that's usually when they start filming as well.
Okay.
Is that last week of September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're right. Huh.
But they would know, like, if someone was on Paradise, they could know, like, oh, this is a really lovable story or an underdog story, or they got their heart broken, and they could edit it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
It would, no matter what, it would be more than what we got of Clayton, so...
Yeah.
But let's see, aside from sampling cheese, then they had a cheese, like a Survivor style cheese competition.
I also like was reminded deeply of Survivor with this.
Yeah. I feel like we've had something very similar.
Yeah, add weight. I remember Pearl Islands, like Krista was went up there longer than Austin did.
Yeah. So it looked very painful. And they were all like in it to win it. They were all fighting for it. And it came down to Ethan and Tino. I did think Tino was funny here. It's like, Ethan, I'll make you a deal. Like, if you drop, I'll drop right after you.
Yeah.
So Tino wins. Tino is on top of the world. He's the cheese king. So he thinks, as the winner of these group date challenges often think, that, oh, then they're obviously going to get the group date rose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see Tyler say, Tyler was the first one to drop, and he kind of got like scratches on his hands, and
he was being a bit of a baby about it. Yeah,
right. Like Rachel had to tend to him, like, "Oh, are you okay?
I got scratched by the cheese."
And so he said, "You know, Tino might have won this competition, but I'm going to win the day." And usually that doesn't really prove out, but he did get the group date rose. That we see them at the cocktail party. All sort of having their time with her. Tyler talks about how he's really sure about bringing her to his family. But Tino also says it's kind of like what they all say. Like, I'm so sure, like, I want you to meet my family. So they're all pitching their case for hometowns. Tyler mentions that his family said, don't bring another girl home unless, like, she's a girl you're gonna marry.
I like hate that.
Yeah, how do you know? Like, things happen. Wouldn't you want to meet somebody a little early on and give your feedback?
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt anybody.
And wouldn't you want to be like, hey, like, if you think this is right now, and later down the line you think it's not right, but that you brought her home to us, right. We don't even think that that's like you have to be with them because of that.
Right. And again, it's like, he's 25, 26. Like, how many people could he have brought home? And it's not like, okay, like, we're just tired of this meeting. We're tired of meeting so many people.
Sure.
Who's not 45. So
some people's parents, like, need a life.
Put that on a t-shirt.
like some people just need to chill. Like, if you've parented your children right,
Let them make their own decisions.
Let them make their own decisions. And if they mess up, well, then, like, guess what? We all mess up. Like, deal with it.
Right, right. We need some room for flexibility here.
Yeah.
So then when she gives Tyler the group date rose, she kind of introduces it as, like, this is somebody who, like, has always, like, made me feel, like, has always been vulnerable with me. Like, she kind of builds it up where you think it is Tino, the way she described it. And Tino storms off. He doesn't do it when Rachel's there, right? He does it after she leaves and the guys are kind of sitting there. Storms off and is kind of saying to the producer, we see him just kind of, it makes it look like he's just kind of talking off camera. But, like, I hit every point today. I had all the amazing moments. Like, I don't get it. And
that's, it feels like really calculated, right?
Right. Like,
and I feel like The Bachelor was being calculated and showing us the calculated sounding moments.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded very like, I deserve this because I did X, Y, Z. I followed all the steps you're supposed to follow. Instead of just, okay, like, I really thought it was going to me. He has to realize, like, if you watch this show, you're not going to get every group date rose. It just doesn't make it interesting. Like, you could be winning at the end, but we don't want to see the same person getting every group date rose.
And I love the way that Ethan discussed this with him.
Yeah.
It was, like, very even keel. It was an accusatory. There was no yelling. It was just like, hey, that was disrespectful to us. And this is why. I can understand that's how you're feeling. And I thought Tina reacted to that conversation super well as well. So, like, good on them both. We love open, honest communication here.
Right. And Ethan, like, when he did say baby back bitch, that was like, I don't think he didn't say that to his face. He was telling that to the other guys. That was the same night. And then when he had the conversation, that seemed like it was the next morning. Like, they're kind of regrouping, like, yeah, just so you know, like, we felt disrespected that you didn't, like, you know, sit there with us. And again, it's like, he's not the only guy that didn't get the group date rose. Like, there are other guys that are disappointed as well. So to make it seem like, oh, I'm the one who deserved it over anyone else.
Yeah.
We see Tino also kind of reflecting that it never really occurred to him that he wasn't the one until tonight. Like, he's kind of in his head, like, maybe I'm just not seeing things clearly. So it's really kind of, you know, getting to him at this point, which gave me a little bit of Sean Booth vibes. Did you get it? Can you see that as well?
You know what? Now that you say it, yes, it didn't hit me until you said it, though.
Yeah. And I think there's probably other ones like that. So to me, I'm like, okay, I already thought he was the front runner, but this could be making us doubt it. But it almost, for me, like, made me think
it's like doing the opposite.
A misdirect. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, he's the clear winner, and they're trying to make us think, like, oh, he's just calculated and he's jealous and it's not going to work out. But that doesn't mean that, like, she's not seeing that. He's showing that to the producer. He's showing that maybe to some of the guys, but I don't think it's at the level where the guys are gonna be like, oh, Tino was like this.
Yeah. So,
or that she'll think it's a warning sign, because he's really just upset that he didn't get, like, the assurance that he was going to hometowns. And then we have our rose ceremony, and technically, you know, there's usually four hometowns. We see Spencer, of all people, giving us that, you know, in the moment, saying, well, there's usually four hometowns, I guess, like, you never know. And of course, he's the one that is the victim of this choice. But we had seen Jesse talking with Gabby, like, oh, are you, like, think about what you want to do. So he must have been talking about this, like, let's say Logan was maybe her fourth that she had in mind for hometowns. He was probably giving her options, like, well, you could have all four of these guys go to hometowns if you're not feeling it. I think the show probably wanted to have some suspense and make the guys sweat a little bit and not just say, like, oh, well, by default, you're all going to hometowns. And especially with so many, like, extra hometowns that they have to have this season, I think she was probably encouraged to say, like, well, if you don't want to do four, you don't have to do four. So she did three.
Yeah, I do appreciate that she didn't bring somebody she wasn't interested in along, just to, like, because she could fill out the numbers.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering how this impacts things next week when, okay, you have hometowns then. Are they going to say, hey, you all can go to fantasy suites? Or does it come? Because I don't think they would want only two fantasy suites, because then you lose suspense for the next one. So
I think if all of those dates go well, she will bring three guys, which is fine by me.
And I could see it going maybe the route of, like, a lot of fantasy suite weeks we see where the third place person maybe goes on their first portion of the date. And then it's like, oh, like, maybe I don't want to give you the key and I'll break it off here. So that at least would carry it over to another week.
Very, very true.
So they see that Gabby only has three roses. Rachel has four, and she has two guys that already have their, you know, Zach and Tyler already have their roses from the dates.
And it's like, okay, we got Evan, her favorite, Tino, her favorite, or Ethan, a guy who she has not taken on a date.
Right, right.
I wonder who it's going to be.
Right. And I thought this was also structured really weird, because they usually alternate. And so first Gabby just called her guys, and then Spencer's just left standing there after she calls Eric, Jason, Johnny. Then Rachel calls Evan and Tino. But before the rose to Tino, Jesse comes out and is like, ladies, it's the final rose tonight. I was like, well, Spencer already knows. Like, he's not going to get a rose from Rachel.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Like, he forgot to come in at the right time, or they just did it. They didn't do their weird alternating like they usually do.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Yeah. So I thought both guys, like, had really nice exits when they went up and said bye to their respective bachelorette.
I also think Ethan went and hugged Gabby, too.
Oh, really?
That's really sweet. Because we see him pull away from Gabby and kind of, like, move over to the side, but then the camera cuts.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it we makes didn't sense. See it, but I think I do think he, like, went over and, like, gave Gabby a hug and was like, thanks.
Oh, that's really sweet. Yeah, I loved actually what both of them said to each other, what Rachel said to Ethan, like, you made my experience really positive here. And he said, you light up every room you're in. Oh,
that so just sweet. Like, it made my heart melt, because, like, I don't think he was, like, BSing her. Like, I think he genuinely felt that way.
And knowing her journey so far of how she's felt, and had other guys, like, had her doubting herself because of the way other guys treated her. And then Spencer, just, like, I think the classic line, too, like, those are all great guys that you have left. Like, that's really sweet to say, too. So, happy with that. Even though we didn't get to know either of these guys really well, at least we could get a little taste of their character on the way out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's about it. I was curious how they do hometowns based on preview. It looks like traditional hometowns are back to the States and back to... Look like regular houses, right? Not like they flew everyone out to Amsterdam or anything.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get all seven?
It was interesting because I felt like it was really Rachel heavy, but again, she has more hometowns than Gabby will. But, like, that's what stood out to me from the preview, that it was mostly, I think we will, but how are they going to? They're going to have to be, like, way shorter, right?
Yeah. Like, oh no, what a sin.
Maybe they'll finally figure out how to edit it, like, a snappy way that you'll be more into it. But speaking of hometowns, have we roped Doug in to join us again?
I believe so. He's, like, very excited about it. Well, he was the one who was like, hey, can I come on? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
That's a college shot. That's always hometowns.
Yeah, so I can only assume.
Is he a Patrick Warburton fan? Like, this will be an extra...
You know what? I'm not sure, but I can only assume Doug likes Seinfeld. Like, it just seems like a Doug show.
Right. Yeah, so that seems like a bonus. I don't even know, because I don't know these guys. Like, I could not, there's no way I could guess, like, seven cities that we're going to.
It looked like New Orleans for Jason.
It did. It did look like a New Orleans. I didn't know who it was, but it looked like somebody was from there.
Yeah.
Which, so I don't think that's where he lives now, so...
No.
Zach's bank is Florida.
I feel like we have a couple of Florida.
Yeah. And again, like, they don't technically live where their parents live, a lot of them. So who knows? It'll be an adventure that we'll find out about. But
yeah,
let's get into our questions. This is from George. So George at George CTV, who does our draft and gives us our bonus questions each week, says, "Hi, Amy and Haley. I'm sure you've already discussed the questions I had about Logan leaving, so let's get right to the bonus questions. I thought for sure we would get a windmill reference, and so did Tori, but you both got the correct answer. I didn't hear either of the women say they wanted to quit this week, so Haley got that right also. No one guessed Logan's situation would be COVID, and we didn't get the scene of Rachel being blindsided. So overall, Haley got 10 bonus points, Amy got 5. Tori was shut out on top of having her last two men go home." Oh, no. Now some questions for next week. Which guy will have the family member who wins over Bachelor Nation? I mean, it's gotta be Zach.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of a lead in on that. 2, will a guy leave / get let go at some point prior to the rose ceremony? What do you think, Haley?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. I'll say yes, just have a different answer. 3, which guys are gone for each bachelorette at the end of the episode? 5 points for each guy named. Okay, so it could be only one guy gone, Rachel's side, or two guys gone.
Yeah, I don't think
there'd be more than that.
No, so I'm saying that Gabby doesn't have a guy go home.
Okay.
And I think I should get 5 points if Gabby doesn't have a guy go home. And then, so who does Rachel have left here? Avon, Tino, Zach, and Tyler. I'm going to say Tyler goes home.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to agree that it's Tyler, because just with that one-on-one history.
Yeah.
To not have a one-on-one, I think she'll... The kind of nice excuse that any lead can use is just like, I think you're amazing, but we're just not in the same place. And like, it's like, yeah, well, it's kind of your fault because you didn't give me the one-on-one, but they just have to accept it at that point.
Yeah.
4, will we get a teaser for the next week of any guy coming back?
I'm going to go with yes on this one.
Okay. I'll say no, but who do you think would be coming back? Logan?
I don't know now. Like, maybe, no, I don't know, but I think somebody is going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and we don't know who's leaving next week, so it could be one of those. The season has lacked a little bit in, like, dramatic moments really playing out, so I feel like they would encourage someone to do so if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is a funny one to start it with. Dan Bragalevsky says, so Logan definitely did not have COVID, right?
No. And Dan was the one who really sent me on like the wormhole this morning of like, oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, look at this.
Yeah. I mean, each show has to have like there's new jobs created to be like COVID officers for COVID protocol. So I'm sure that person is traveling with them. Justin Feinberg, on a scale of -10 to 100, or is it -100?
Yeah.
How giddy is Haley over there bringing 7 hometown dates this season?
So what my hope is that each hometown date is like shorter. Okay. So my issue with the hometown is always like how long they are and how dumb they are. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping with 7, like it's probably going to be the same level of dumb, but hopefully less length.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they're going to shorten whatever time the lead has with their guy individually in the town. Mm-hmm. Like maybe they'll do one little thing, but they won't have like, it won't be like Serene and Clayton bungee jumping or whatever they did, you know.
Michael, what a throwback. For $5 billion, I wouldn't have been able to tell you there was a woman named Serene on Clayton season.
It does feel weirdly long ago.
Like ages ago.
Mm-hmm. What, Clayton that was and Susie still year. Going strong.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to be happier that there's 7, not 8. But it's still
always looking on the positive side. Yeah,
three more than normal. Leah Dawson, I think Tino really told on himself this episode. Totally valid for him to feel his feelings, but he seems really controlling to me. Justice for Ethan. I hope Rachel picks Zach instead. He's obsessed with her in a seemingly healthier way.
Yeah, so that did feel like a little, and I've been pretty honest about Tino, like, not giving me the good vibes this season, and I didn't love this from him, but I do appreciate the way he's been able to, like, express his frustration in a few other scenarios.
Right, right. Yeah. I think he has maybe a short temper and maybe it's just, like, can easily get rattled about something because it just didn't seem like he could really have the perspective on it right away in the moment, but he did the next day.
Yeah.
Laura Olcott, how quickly did Haley fast forward through Gabby's group date? I cringed on your behalf.
I was sweating. Like, that's how uncomfortable I was. Like, if this is your thing, like, I am so happy for you. Like, all the power to you. I hope you find that with a consenting person. I don't want any of that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at least we're done with these dates for the rest of until Bachelor in Paradise. So. We can wait for that.
Oh, God.
Let's go through the draft results quickly. George at George CTV. Update for week 6 for the hashtag Rapchuler. Sad news for Tori is she lost Nate and Spencer. She's out players with 144 points. Haley has the lead with 225. She lost Ethan. Now that's Ethan, the cast member, not her husband. So has 3 men on her team. Amy is still
I feel really good about Ava, Eric, and Tino, though.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good group. Amy is still close with 206 and 4 men remaining. So
you're top 4, too.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about some of them as well. Not so much Tyler and Johnny, but Jason and Zach I'm feeling good about. Like, I like Johnny, but again, he's kind of in that, like, Tyler slot for me where it's just like he's a later connection with Gabby.
And so. He just seems so young.
Yeah. Yep. So
and just feels young.
Yep. Yeah. So that's where we are. Do you have takes from Doug for this episode?
I do. Give me one moment here. Okay. What was more of an amazing move from producers, convincing the quietest person on the season, Jason, to be the narrator at the start of the episode, or having Rachel, a woman who has only cried and felt undervalued so far, to excitedly proclaim that the process is working?
I like when I rope in Jason.
I also felt so bad for Jason at the beginning of this, or on the group date. You could tell he just hated existing.
Yeah. 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 He had the good line of just like, I'll just discuss this personally with her. I'll discuss my preferences in the bedroom. Thank you very much.
Knowing what we do now about Nate's behavior and relationships, do we think Gabby should have just headed to Amsterdam cafe to wash away any memory of him with some legal in Amsterdam substances? Okay, so I have changed some of this for I have changed some of it instead of driving around a boat crying.
I did see it was a tweet. I don't know, have the credit for it, unfortunately, but it was like a screen grab of, you know, Nate, like with that realization on his face, like, okay, this isn't going well. And it's like something like when he realizes he should have lied about having a kid.
I saw a good one that was like, I can't even remember. So I'm like, I'm going to butcher. It's just like, Nate telling somebody he's the most, like, his dad is the most important person of his life. And like, oh, his ex-girlfriend's like doing that surprise face of like, oh, really?
Right.
Is it just me, or would the perfect potential couple from this season be Susie, the Dutch whip lady, somehow hooking up with the giant Belgian fish slap man from last week?
Go write that fanfic.
Imagine for a moment you are an average Dutch person. Would you rather take money from an American reality TV show to destroy your tulip field to put a hot tub in the middle of it, or pretend like you give an F times named Tino being named the Cheese King in your town.
Yeah, they had quite a
crowd. I feel like Cheese King has less impact.
Around. Yeah. It was upsetting me a little bit with like riding the bikes. And I'm like, she totally is like riding over the tulips right now.
Yeah.
Like, do not crush them.
I know. I was like, no, not the pretty tulips. Anything yeah, but.
Exactly. I guess they have an abundance of them, but still.
Would you rather answer any of the questions asked by Susie the Whip Lady on national television or to have the producers convince you to switch teams, give you COVID and send you home?
No. No, it's the producers that are behind it.
Yeah, see, I'm not. No, I don't think that's what happened. I think. I don't agree with Doug on that one.
Yeah,
my answers would be just like super boring as well for Susie. And I wouldn't want to be whipped. I don't want that in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm too delicate.
I'm just gonna be annoyed if COVID is the new, like, this is, we're just gonna blame everything on this on a TV yeah, show because we can't say substances. Yeah. We can't, you know.
Yeah. You can't say like, oh, he partook in a legal substance in
this country. Instagram. Right.
This is all very alleged. Alleged, oh, totally. Alleged, alleged.
But yeah, it definitely makes sense. Like they're in that place. You know, that's what many people do when they travel there. It would be very tempting for many people. And it would make sense that they wouldn't be able to say it or wouldn't want to say it. Like, what if they want Logan for a future like VIP or something?
Yeah.
So.
I really think they should do a European version of The Bachelor. It would be so much more fun to watch people from all these different countries, cultures, and cheese regions meet and fall in love instead of just following the journey of some Chad from Encinitas meeting a woman who just graduated from Southern Bible College. Sigh, maybe someday. Roll Tide. Can't wait to join you next week for all 7 hometowns. Doug, maybe you should watch Love Island UK. It's on Hayu. Anyway, that's it from Doug.
Nice.
And you'll hear his take live next week, which will be a thrill for all of us.
Yes. I'm excited.
Me too.
So where can people keep up with everything you're doing, Haley?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. You can check out everything I'm reading at The Strong Takes. Nope. The Strong Library. Wow, what a throwback. Remember when I had a blog? Oh, memories. Anyway, and then I do believe I am joining the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast later this week to talk about Love Island USA.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAP Recapper, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.